Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to part five of our series, Who is God? So honored to have you with us today. And let me just pause before we get started and say a big shout out to our graduates, our 2020 graduates. We're so proud of you. I'm standing here on the campus of UNC Charlotte, and I want to particularly give a shout out to a couple of our UNC Charlotte graduates, Tim and Josh. We're so proud of you. And thank God for you. And we're just excited about this next chapter in your life and pray God's blessings upon you today. So if you're watching right now, come on, give some likes out there for Josh and Tim and all of our graduates. So proud of you today. I want to jump right into this series, part five. And as we do this, I want to just say today's installment, we're talking about the Lord is my righteousness. But I want to unpack this, this series title. We talk about this each week, the why of this series title, and it comes from an Old Testament story of where God delivered Israel out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and God uses Moses to come to Pharaoh with a message, let my people go. And Pharaoh's response to that is recorded in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, where Pharaoh said, and who is God that I should listen to him? And so each week we're looking at this question, who is God? And secondly, who is God that I should listen to him? And as God reveals to us who he is, and we discover who he is that we should listen to him, then we are asking the question each week, what is our response to him? And so we know that God revealed to Pharaoh and he revealed to Israel who he is. And so God also wants to reveal himself to you and me today, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in right now. And as a world, we're facing this world pandemic that we're all under and all that goes along with that. Listen, God in the midst of that wants to reveal himself to you. Oftentimes God would reveal himself in scripture through people's experiences, through their dilemmas, through their crisis. And so whatever experience God has you in right now or that life has you in, God wants to reveal himself to you. And the reason for this is that God wants you to know him. And that's the goal of this series. It's not informational, but it's relational. We want you to be able to know who God is and know him personally. And so as we're looking at this series, we're looking at the seven redemptive names of God. And to demonstrate that, we're looking at Psalm 23, which illustrates beautifully these seven redemptive names of God. So I want us to read this again as we do each week. I'd like you to read that out loud, if you would, there in your home with me, the 23rd Psalm. Come on, let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's just take 1 minute to recap. Week one, we talked about the Lord is my shepherd, and the reveal of the redemptive name in week one was that he is Jehovah Rahi. He is the one who watches over me and guides me into all truth. And we discovered the Lord is my shepherd. And our response to that is that we know the shepherd. Week two, I shall not want. NIV says, I lack nothing. And the second redemptive name was revealed. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. Week three, we looked at the phrase where David said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And it was revealed the third redemptive name. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. We need some peace right now. And the response to that is that we are to rest in the Lord, my peace. And we can experience the peace of God when we make peace with God. Last week, we looked at part four, and that he said, he restores my soul. And the reveal of the fourth redemptive name is that he is Jehovah Rapha. And we discovered that he is the Lord, my healer. And our response to that, we declared to put my faith in the Lord who heals. And so today we're looking at verse three. the next part of this psalm that says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And today's reveal of the redemptive name of God is that He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord is my righteousness. And so I want to take us to a place of scripture of the first mention of the reveal of Jehovah Tsidkenu. It's found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the major prophets, and Jeremiah is described as the weeping prophet because he had the task of challenging the religious hypocrisy, the economic dishonesty, and the oppressive practices of the nation of Judah's leaders. The nation of Judah had disobeyed God, and they thought they were okay, and religious leaders were even misleading people to think they were okay, that they could live the way that they were living. And so Jeremiah preached an unpopular message. The ministers of those days were preaching a popular message that the people wanted to hear, but it was not from God. And Jeremiah came with harsh words of warning to the kings, to the prophets, to the priests, to the shepherds of the people. He was weeping because he was mourning over the sins of the people and was also anguished in his lack of success in turning people back to God. His was an unpopular message, but the message came with hope. And I want to tell you, God always gives us hope in the midst of it all. And the message was that God had a bright future for his people if they would fully follow him. And this message came with the promise of a Savior. And it's first recorded in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, when God says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness, that it would come out of the lineage of David, a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he is called, the Lord, our righteousness. That is Jehovah Tsidkenu. And it was prophetic that Jesus would come and his name is the Lord, our righteousness. It's interesting because you go 10 chapters later in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 3, this is oftentimes called the phone number of God, where God says, Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You forward on into that chapter, and it seems to be a repeat of chapter 23. But in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 33, it's repeated. It says, In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved. Now watch this. And Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called the Lord, our righteousness. Now mark this for a moment with me. Notice in chapter 23, it says his name is talking about Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. But in chapter 33, it says her name and he's talking about the nation or the people of God, that they will be known as the Lord, our righteousness. So file that. We're going to come back to that because Jeremiah points us to the needs of the people. And we see that what he is saying to the people is that we're not right with God, but then he points them to the answer to their needs. And I want to break that down for us today. So first of all, I want us to see this. Jeremiah, again, he highlights the needs, the sins of the people, but then he gives them the solution. So point number one, you might want to write this down, and that's our need. Another way of saying that is our problem. And the problem or our need is this. We are not right. And we are not right with God. The reason for that is sin separates us. It's called the sin gap, the sin gap. God is right in all his ways, and we are not. Only one could bridge that gap, that sin gap between us and God. It would be one who is right with God, and none of us qualify. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, There is no one righteous, not even one. And you might say to that, well, you know, I'm not a bad person, but can I just tell you, it's not about whether you're a good person or a bad person. It's about right being right versus not being right. Watch this. Sin separates us. God is holy. He is perfect. And he cannot look upon sin. And due to sin, that is that thing that separates us from God. We're separated. There's a separation because of sin. Now, God, who is God? God is life. In him we live and breathe and move and have our being. And we are so when we're separated from God, look at this, we're separated from life itself. Apart from life, what is there? It's death. It's really a death versus life. It's a life and death issue. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make you right, right with God. He came that you might have a relationship, that he would bridge the two together in relationship. Now, file that word relationship, because we're going to have an amazing reveal at the end of this message. But you know, there's a lot of people that have a percentage belief. They say, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. And I think if I do more good than I do bad, if the more good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then I get into heaven. As if there's a scaling system, as if, you know, if you're on a scale of 1 to 10 and Jesus is a 10 and Hitler is a 0 and maybe we're somewhere in there, a 7, you know, we wouldn't be a 10, but maybe a 6, maybe we can just get in. But what would you need to have on that scale? Where would you need to be on that scale? What percentage would you need to be at to be able to get into heaven? What percentage of good would you need to be to get into heaven? Can I tell you that it's 100%? That's the answer. It's 100% because God is a holy God and he cannot look upon sin. So we need to be 100% right, 100% right of rightness, 100% righteous. And that creates a dilemma. It's a dilemma. Just as we look at the Ten Commandments and we look at a lot of the laws of God and people say, well, I can't do that in myself. I don't seem to be able to fulfill all the law. And so there's a dilemma, and sometimes it appears that these things are written, and perhaps so, that we are so frustrated in trying to fulfill those, but it demonstrates to us something. It demonstrates to us a need of a Savior, a need of a Savior. And Jesus, by the way, didn't come to destroy the law, but came to fulfill the law. He fulfills them for us, and that he is perfect, and he is holy. So it demonstrates our need of a Savior. So our need is a Savior. And God's answer to our need, this is God's answer. His answer is Jesus. Jesus went to the cross and he experienced that separation for us. Do you remember it recorded when Jesus was on the cross that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And many believe it was because at that moment, God turned and could not look upon him. There was a separation. Jesus experienced that separation for us so that we wouldn't have to experience that separation. That's amazing. Let me read it to you again. I've been reading this to you each week. Beautiful, a prophetic verse found in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, where it's recorded, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, that's all of us, like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I love, let me give it to you in a New Testament verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's oftentimes called the great exchange. We come to Jesus unworthy. We come to Jesus sinful, because the Bible says we're all born in shape and in sin and iniquity. And we come as we are to Jesus, but in exchange, he gives us his robe of righteousness. How beautiful is that? Jesus is our righteousness. And I love Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 that says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. It's the miracle of the blood of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse us and make us white as snow, to make us clean. And so, well, why the necessity of the blood? I don't understand that. Well, Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It is required. Why is it required? Because, again, when we sin against God, there is a separation, and there is a need for a sacrifice, a need for bringing us back together. And Romans 6, 23 words it this way, for the wages of sin is death. So that's the wages of sin. It's that separation from life, from God himself. It's death. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, here's the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. One version says through Christ Jesus. So through what Jesus did on the cross, we now have life, and that's available to you today. It's available by accepting him by faith and what he did for us on the cross. It is available. Jesus took the punishment for us. He took death for us so we wouldn't have to. You know, some people don't want to hear a preacher preaching on hell, but hell is simply a place where you go to pay for your sins. It's a place of death or a separation from life, a separation from God himself. But the question beckons, why would you want to go there? You can go there if you want to pay for your sins, but why would you want to do that when Jesus has already paid for it for you? He has paid for it in full. Come on, somebody in your homes, give a hallelujah out there or an amen. Come on. He made us 100% right with God, that we are complete and we are whole. And when God looks at us, he looks at us through his son, Jesus. He doesn't see our sins. He doesn't see our flaws. He sees us pure and whole because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So we see our need and we see that God has provided an answer. But now what does that mean for us today? I want us to see our new life. And let's bring that word back into play, relationship. Again, Jeremiah chapter 23 mentions his name is the Lord our righteousness. Chapter 33 talks about her name shall be called the Lord our righteousness, speaking of the nation or the people of God. Now watch this. I want us to tie this in. Psalm 23 and 3 says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, path represents our walk, our life, the way we live our life. In scripture, it's called our conversation. It's the choices we make. It's the choices and how we live our life. We are no longer living as dead people, but we are alive. Can I give you an amazing scripture that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is a lot to unpack, but just kind of receive this. Listen to this amazing truth in God's word. And it says this, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But watch this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in trespasses, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Isn't that beautiful? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, there's a lot there that I don't have time to unpack. But let me just put it to you this way. We have been offered new life through Jesus. Let me phrase it to you this way. I often like to say it this way. Jesus did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from our sins. He not only imparts to us his righteousness, now he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So listen to this. God does an internal work inside of us. We talked about that last week. He restores our soul. He breathes life into us. We become alive in Him. Then He begins to work in our life, and what He does on the inside, it begins to express itself on the outside. We used to say it's Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And there will be a change. He transforms us on the inside, and it begins to affect everything that we do. It begins to affect our walk. It begins to affect our talk. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So that means if He leads us, that means that our part in that is that we are to follow. So can I just present to you that Christianity is more than a belief system? Some people think, well, it's just a belief system. As long as I believe, listen, the Bible says that even the demons believe, okay? It's important to believe, yes. But Jesus, when He called people, He would say, follow me, follow me. The call was to repent. That word repent simply means turn. I was going one way, now I'm going a different way. I'm now following the Lord. It's to put it another way, it means that we're going to surrender the control of our life. We're no longer in charge. It's not in our ways to direct our own steps. Now we are now following the Lord. We're giving Him control. And the Bible teaches us that we have been blood bought. And so therefore, we belong to God now. But now look at this, what it goes on to say. Psalm 23 and 3 says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And then it goes on to something else. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's, for His name's sake. For His name's sake. Now what's this? Our life is going to change. Things are going to change in our life as we accept the Lord, as we follow the Lord. And it'll affect how you live. It'll affect what you do. It'll affect what comes out of your mouth and what goes in your mouth. It'll affect what your hands do and what your hands don't do. It'll affect where your feet go and where they travel. But watch this. He gives us something extra here. He says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, we're talking about the seven redemptive names of God, and those aren't just names we would just throw around. It represents who He is. And God has given us His name, and He now declares us as His righteousness. Isn't that amazing? He gives us His name, and now we are called His righteousness. We are called the Lord is our righteousness. No righteousness in ourselves, no self-righteousness, but our righteousness is found in the Lord. And He gives us His name, and so now we have His name. And now we are His representatives for His name's sake to the world, which leads us to a fourth point. That is our purpose, our purpose. We see our need. We see God's answer. We see our walk, our life, how it's changed. And now we see our purpose for His name's sake. Can I tell you, it matters how you live. Two reasons. You belong to Christ, number one. Number two, you represent Christ. You represent His name to the world. We experience the salvation of God. That's all the work of Jesus and what He did on the cross and what He accomplished. And now we are on our way to heaven. He restores our soul. He breathes new life into us. But because we now have new life, we now walk in the newness of life. Galatians 5 and 25 puts it this way. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? He leads us. Let me give you two ways. Number one, His word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So His word teaches us how we are to live. It matters. Some people just want to kind of throw the law out. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And what we couldn't do following rules on a wall, God comes on the inside and changes our heart. In other words, He changes our want to. He changes our nature. He now gives us His nature, and we walk in His righteousness and start following Him in purity and in holiness. And His word is not unclear of how we're to live our life. And then secondly, how do we follow Him? We follow Him by following His Spirit. So He gives us these two ways, by His word and by His Spirit. And Jesus knew that the disciples, as he was leaving them, that they were going to need some help in living this thing out. He said, you can't do this in your own power. I got to come on the inside of you. And he tells them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. What is it? A representative of him, right? To me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He was saying to your city, for us it'd be your city, your state, your nation, and the world. You're my representatives, and you're going to need my help. You're going to need my righteousness. You're going to need my power to live this thing out because you are my representatives. So let's recap. The reveal of the fifth redemptive name is that he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we discover that he is the Lord, my righteousness. And our response, what should our response be to these things? Follow the Lord who leads my life. We must follow the Lord. What does that simply mean? Follow the Lord. In other words, surrender control. Not only make him Savior, but make him Lord. Let him be the one who calls the shots. Can I tell you that when you do that, life gets so much better? If living this thing out is hard and rough and difficult, can I tell you, you're probably doing it the wrong way because you're doing it with your own strength. But when you follow his word and his Spirit guides you in following his word, can I tell you, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We come to him. He's our shepherd. He leads us in the paths of life. We discover that in him. Can I tell you that's available for you today? You can experience life in him. And the first step is to declare him as Savior and then surrender your life also to him as Lord of your life, the one who is in charge. Are you ready to give him charge of your life? Are you ready to give him control of your life? I'm telling you, his ways are ways of life and life to the fullest. And I'd like to pray with you right now. If you're there and you're saying, yes, I'm ready to surrender my life to you, Lord, can I just lead you in that prayer? All I'm going to do is help you with some of the words, okay? Let's pray together. Say this out loud, would you? Today, God, I acknowledge you, that you are my righteousness. I am not right, but you are, but you've come to make me right. So today, I accept what you did for me. You died for me so I could live for you. Today, I accept you in my heart and in my life. And I give you control of my life. I surrender my life to you. And by faith, I accept you now. Forgive me for going my way. Now I follow you. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen.